We've been talking this week about toddlers, the fact that you have to expect your toddlers to be pushing the boundaries. But there's another element when it comes to toddlers. What happens when someone else is helping you take care of your child? What happens when someone else has your child for part of the day? How do you deal with that?
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we've been talking about toddlers this week, yesterday, about some of the triggers, things that you can avoid. Wednesday, we spoke about what really is the healthy process of getting them into a routine and what's your thinking process as a parent. Tuesday, we also talked about how it really is a key time to be establishing boundaries. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. And of course, Monday, why toddlers do this to us. No, and we're not victims. It's actually a very healthy thing for them to be pushing boundaries. You have to expect it and be prepared for it and know the purpose behind it all, that you are trying to train this toddler to be eventually a good child, a teenager, and then an adult. But it really is frustrating. And I've spoken with many even family members who say, well, they'll just grow out of it. And they do grow out of some things. It seems to me, listening also to you and Tori this week, that it's easier if you can teach them earlier.
At some point, they're going to have to learn in life that no means no. And you can wait and deal with it in middle school. It's more dramatic. You can wait and deal with it in high school. It's much more dramatic. You can wait and deal with it in college, or their first wife or their first employer will have to deal with it. The consequences get bigger every era of the child development or the adult development. So in reality, you know, I'm not sure if this is right. And life all boils back to Joseph for me. I'm not sure if he wasn't living in an overindulged house in Jacob's home, and Jacob loved him. And there's a scene where Jacob sends him out to look at the brothers who are taking, all the brothers are taking care of the sheep in some distant place. Why wasn't Joseph out there?
Right.
Joseph was in the home office of Jacob Inc. just kind of hanging. Mm-hmm. And Joseph goes out, and when he goes out to where they're working, and he's not at 17 years old, he's wearing the special coat. And it was almost like God said, you know, it's time for me to take over his parenting. I'm going to send him to Egypt to teach him how to work. I don't know if that's true, but it appears to be true. Mm-hmm. I don't want my children to have to go through college or 20-something trauma of learning that no means no. But I also, here's another big issue. I loved being a parent. High school was there, when they were in high school, was the best years of my life. But it was the best years of my life because we went through the agony of doing the things we needed to do during the early years. We have to decide as parents that we're going to do the stuff that needs to happen so they can reach their full potential with the least amount of damage from mm-hmm. this world and go out there and really do awesomely amazing things.
I just feel, though, that sometimes we feel as parents like, man, I just don't want to be so militant all the time. Why does everything have to be so structured and all? Why can't my kid just be angelic and get the lesson?
Because they're not, and they don't, and they won't. Yeah, and so all of a sudden, I can't believe my three-year-old's done that. My five-year-old's done that. I can't believe my eight-year-old said that. Where'd you learn that? They're kids, and they're this blank slate. But let me also say this. They are born with sin, and they're born self-centered. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if you don't believe that, whoever said, no, I think the culture, those people never had children. The culture didn't teach my children to be self-centered. They came out of the box self-centered, and they're bringing it self-centered. I want what I want. So that I do think that we need to know it's the job of the parent to train them up in the way they should go. Mm-hmm. So they're ready. And part of that training them up in the way they should go is so that when they're old, they get it and they can succeed. But one of the challenges in this, and this is, we talked about triggers yesterday. There's another trigger. And the trigger is the different parenting system. When they go from this house to that house, this childcare to our house, I have to pick them up, or my ex has them over the weekend. There is a additional challenge to parenting when they go from one system that no means nothing to a system in your home when you're trying to help no mean no. How do you do that? And I think that's a big challenge for us today, because for many of us in our world, Rosemary, my wife, my awesome wife, spends all day Thursday with Reuben. It's Mimi Day. They call her Mimi, and she has Reuben all day and Judah all day Thursday, both our grandchildren, a one-year-old and a three-and-a-half-year-old, basically. And in that process, we have had to work at learning, okay, what is the system in that house? What are the yeses and nos in that house? And we've had to decide to make those in our house so that we don't make life miserable for this child when they don't get the system. But that's not going to work for everybody. And that doesn't work in blending families. And that doesn't work in joint custody. And that doesn't work with the daycare center. So I think the thing we want to spend a moment on today is my toddler is existing in two systems. How do I deal with that?
Mm-hmm. And they'll always seemingly function better in one system than in another. If you have a lot of good structure at home, I've seen some kids, they thrive in that. Then they go somewhere else where it's kind of a free-for-all. And then, oh my gosh, there's so many other kids. And then it doesn't feel as safe.
Well, that's a very truth. It doesn't, they're less secure. Mm-hmm. And when less secure, they're going to be less creative because they're not going to risk.
I've also seen the opposite where the child is always misbehaved with the parents around. And you're thinking, what's going on here? And then the child goes to some grandparents' house and all of a sudden they're calm. And you think, is this the same child? Then how come they're so different at grandma's? Well, is it because grandma's more calm? Or is it because maybe it is grandma's no means no and there's safety in that and they're more comfortable with that? I don't know.
Absolutely. One of the interesting things at Sheridan House is we have five ministries here. One of the ministries is residential treatment, and we take kids in five different homes. We have them. We've had kids for as little as 8 months. We've had kids for 6 years. We have them until they get the system. They go home every weekend with a behavioral, basically a behavioral prescription that the mom or the mom and dad or whoever, the grandparents, whoever has custody, for them to do to really give back some structure to the home, but give leadership of the structure back to the parent. And the parent actually grades the weekend on Sunday evenings. And so we slowly do this. It's been very interesting to me to watch parents on Friday evening come and pick up their child, and the child's ecstatic to show them the bedroom, and they go down the hall. And if you're there, it's unbelievable for the parent to look at this perfectly made bed, perfectly vacuumed
their
carpet.
Their jaws are to the
floor.
Oh,
yeah. And they're wondering, do you have maid service here? I can't believe this room. And they realize what their child can do. Mm-hmm. And we want them to see the bedroom. This is what your child can do. Your child, who you couldn't even get to go to school, is now making A's, not because we care about grades, but we care about effort. Your child who you couldn't get out of bed is now getting up very early, doing 30 minutes worth of chores, going for an awesomely big family breakfast, coming for 15 minutes of family devos around the fireplace at Sheridan, at each of the homes, and going off to school and being held accountable for their behavior. So this can work, but watching the parent at home, how long it takes them to get that weekend going and get the child to believe that the parent really believes, I know you can do it and I won't accept anything less. Mm-hmm. And watching that start to take place, what we have to decide is, and what we have to decide here at Sheridan House is, whatever's going on at home, this it's different here. Mm-hmm. It's going to be different here. And so a lot of times Sunday nights, when a child is still out of control at home, we have to sit the child down and say, you're back. We love you, man. Don't miss this. You're back. And tonight's important because tonight's your first night back. You've been gone Friday night, Saturday night, first night back with us. Don't blow it tonight where you got to go to bed early Monday night. Don't do this. Right. So just, you're back. Welcome back. Glad to see you. And I know I don't need to go over some of the stuff with you. I just want to remind you, see, the walls are different. You're back. Mm-hmm. Where you're back here at Sheridan House.
And that's okay. I mean, and toddlers, it should be okay. I mean, it's hard for them to learn that there sometimes are different systems, but that's sort of something normal they have to end up
learning. No, there's outdoor
behavior
and there's indoor behavior. There's mm-hmm. outdoor voice and indoor voice. Absolutely. And so you pick your child up from daycare and you're driving them home and having a fun time, and you pull into the driveway of the apartment or the house or whatever it is, and you say, okay, before we go in, I want to talk to you about a couple things and have that little talk. And you were such a good boy last night. I want to thank you for that. And I know you had a little bit of, Mrs. Smith told me you had a little bit of a difficult time. I'm so sorry for what happened today. We're going in clean slate. It's a clean slate. Let's start all over as we go in the house. You know, we have to do a few things. So come in, and as you come in, let's bring your book bag in, and I'm going to clean out your lunchbox. Whatever it is, get them in their routine, which is your routine, which is the family routine, which is a routine that makes them secure. When you violate the routine, when you have a meltdown, that's when they're very insecure. So one of the triggers is they've been in daycare, or they've been with the grandparent who lets them do absolutely anything, or they've been with your ex who is making the rules different just to irritate you to begin with. Mm-hmm. There are no rules on the weekend with your ex. I don't know what it is, but understand, because you're wanting to say, I hear what you guys are saying. I can't do that. I have a joint custody, whether it's daycare or my ex situation. You can do that. Mm-hmm. At your house, you can do that, and it's better for your child, and it's where your child will complain and say, at dad's house, I don't have to do this. I'm sorry, but at our house, we do have to do this. Eventually, they're going to get it, and eventually, they're going to love it, because you are predictable now. Mm-hmm. They don't have to wonder whether no means no. You're predictable. Everyone is secure in a predictable environment.
And you have to manage your expectations, too. I'm not, am I going to expect a squeaky, clean child all the time when they have no habits in the other home or whatnot, you know?
They're children.
Right,
yes.
Right.
I think if if we're not careful, our toddlers become an inconvenience. And sometimes our 12-year-olds become an inconvenience. And we've battled work and we come home from work and we don't want to battle at home, but your toddler hasn't seen you all day or whoever hasn't seen you all day. And you go right into the incredible amount of things you have to accomplish between 6 o'clock and 8:30 and tubby time and cramming it in rather than, mom, could we just stop? Could we just sit down here on the floor? Could I just own you? Could you touch me? Could we take a break? Could I learn to start talking to you about someone who was mean to me today and took the toys out of my hands? Do I get to talk to you, or I just learn survival of the fittest? Mm-hmm. Your child needs full on 20 minutes, just you, just attention. And when you got four, each of them need that. Mm-hmm. Each and every child. Mom, I can't function like you right now. I'm a toddler. And let me say, I'm a 12-year-old. Could I just have a little I'm important time? Because if I don't do it during a toddler, then your child is going to learn how to do it in the cyber world to be important to anybody else mm-hmm. than right here. I think a trigger is that if your system is so jam-packed and someone else is taking care of your child's coming out of that routine, they're going into your routine, and they're going to push just to see. I know it's the same house or the same routine in effect here. And it's the time when you got it rather than, I can't believe you did that. It's okay. We need to stop. Mm-hmm. We're all back home. We're all a little hassled. You saw the argument I got in with your dad when I picked up you saw that. I am sorry. I apologize that you saw that. I apologize that that took place. We're all back home. And 3-year-old, we're back. And I love you. And yes, that little dance you just did to get whatever it is you want, that doesn't work. Let's get back in our routine, and we're going to have your tubby, and we're going to do this and have your cookie and then brush your teeth and then off to bed, whatever it is. Get them in their routine. And once they're back in this house where the walls are blue, this is the blue routine. This mm-hmm. is how we live here. I do so much better with that, Mom. Yeah. So don't think just because it's inconsistent someplace else with you, it can be and must be consistent.
And you can prepare for it too. I mean, there's things that you know, okay, when they come from this environment, they are usually like this, you know, and I not to compare, but when we have to walk the dog, sometimes my husband says the first two blocks are always the hardest. He's running out and just wants to go all over the place. But after the first two blocks, he's calm. So we know, make sure you have the right shoes on, hold on that big dog. And then it's great walk. And
I think that's a great comparison. Okay. I wouldn't back away from that comparison. I think it's great.
So you have to anticipate then your children coming back. They're overstimulated, or they've been spoiled all day, or even they're miserable and they're happy to be with you. But this transitional time, what can you do for that child during that transitional time to get them back into your routine, your world?
And relationship. Back into your relationship. So I think we pick up our toddlers from wherever, and we need to be realistic about this is the time to just stop, sit down, just to be. It's not a time to interrogate, but it's a time to be. Just mm-hmm. a time to be, just to hang. I got a cookie here for you. In fact, I'm having one of your cookies, and we're just going to sit down here and have some milk or whatever it is. Could I just be back in my home? Mm-hmm. Could I just, and back in my routine? I just need to be back, even if I'm not pleasant right now, mm-hmm. Because I've been in a different kind of structure, and I've not been anybody's special anybody, Mom, in daycare. I need to be your special. And you're going to see that one toddler that just wants to crawl in your lap because mm-hmm. they've been in daycare. Could mm-hmm. I just... No one had time for touch. I need some touch. So those are triggers for different kinds of behavior that are just so important. Remembering my toddler's a toddler. They haven't worked out all their feelings yet and all their stuff yet. Understand it when it's a joint custody scenario, daycare, family member helping you, or your ex, whatever it is. That's a trigger. You're going to see some behavior. Be ready for it.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J., wrapping up a week talking about toddlers. And if you've got some, you missed any of the programs, you can hear them all over again on parentingtoday.org, where you can also download the new iPhone, even the Droid apps, and get that automatically as well with the blog that corresponds to it. It's all online and easy to share with someone else electronically at parentingtoday.org. And if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, the Boys Home, Girls Home, the counseling, and the many resources for marriage and for parenting that benefit the ministry, that's at shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. If you want to support the ministry, you can do that online, even on your phone, by simply texting two letters. Just text SH and send it to the number 41518. That'll add $10 to your cell phone bill and give $10 to the ministry. And we hope you'll join us next week for another topic here on Parenting Today.